Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. And as I'm looking at the election and as I'm looking east and I'm looking all around, folks, and I see no sign whatsoever that your public servants and or there are, so let me correct this, because I know there are some public servants that actually do want to relinquish power, but those party groups prevailing across the United States, we may actually have a Liberty Caucus, Freedom Caucus, that actually is going to change the power base in Wyoming. In other words, folks, we may now have enough constitutionalists, or let me correct this. We may have enough conservatives, and you know how I feel about conservatives, or the labeling conservative, but we may have enough in Wyoming to actually get HB 132 that we had earlier this year passed this coming year. And we may actually be able to get Wyoming to start doing the fundamental audit. So this is why you'll need to read this. You'll need to read what this committee has to do. And you need to make, and so there's some things I still need to add to that. But this is the fundamental, this is what the committee does. You got to, the overall thing that I have to impress upon people when they're doing an audit, they have to stay within the confines of the compact. In other words, how is the compact defined? What does the compact actually say? And going to how it's defined is the ratification debates. Anybody that has any concern whatsoever regarding this thing, this process, this audit, Republic review going sideways, I'm here to assure you, if you have not read the ratification debates, there is no evidence stated by the Federalists, the proponents for the Constitution, to actually aggrandize government whatsoever. In other words, the only powers they have is what was enumerated. The only property they have is what was enumerated. The only roles and responsibilities that they have are enumerated. And if they're not enumerated, then they have no authority to exercise, possess, or operate those roles, responsibilities, powers, or property. So, anyway, it's Friday. It's Feedback Friday. And, excuse me, I'm choking myself up here. I had a conversation with the Patriot and I don't like mentioning names, so out of the East Coast, and the individual that hears this, that was me. But bottom line is, because I know I rail on this, and I say this a lot, and I want you to understand that one of the reasons why I don't want people to tell me whether I'm good or not. I'm here to help. And one of the real reasons I have a problem taking compliments is because I guess it was ingrained in my brain housing unit. I'll refer back to my Marine Corps days. And oh, by the way, happy belated birthday to my brethren in the Marine Corps, because yesterday was the birthday of the Marine Corps. Today's Veterans Day. So I would say if you're a Washingtonian, then welcome to the Union. And if you're a veteran anywhere else, happy Veterans Day. Thank you for your service. See, there's a real problem. Washington State actually joined the Union on this day. And as far as I'm concerned, that is a far more important event than the individuals and all of the sacrifice. I mean, we have Memorial Day for those who sacrificed all, right? And we, you know, have Veterans Day to thank those who served. And as far as I'm concerned, the joining of the Union, the only reason Washingtonians can become veterans is because they joined the Union. Sorry about that. I may have some coughs today, so forgive me. But let me get back to this point. We're all, as citizens, required to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, which means that the Constitution is what we serve. We don't serve the president. Excuse me. We don't serve Congress. We don't serve the party. We serve the Constitution. So any veteran out there, any veteran that went into service to do it for themselves, to join, to go, okay, that's great. But don't take thanks for your service because you went, you know, you joined for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years so that you go to school and get your degree. And that's all you did. Yeah, you may have, you know, been ran around and your life may have been the Corps or the Armies or the Navies or it doesn't matter. Our obligation when we raise our arm to the square, our obligation is to that Constitution. We are to support and defend it against enemies foreign and domestic. And it is a far more, I'll just say, ominous and legal. I mean, we don't hold U.S. citizens to their legal oath or their birthright, I should say, of serving and supporting the Constitution until we actually have to by, you know, enlisting them into the militia or what have you. And see, this is where we've really gone wrong in this nation because we have not helped these young entitled children understand that their duty and obligation and their life is tied to, and their liberties and their sovereignty is tied to this thing called the Constitution. You see, the Constitution protects all individual liberty, all individual sovereignty, and all of our lives. It is far greater than what one service can do because there is nothing more important. As a matter of fact, we kind of get this, you know, this feeling when we start looking at individuals who have lost their liberty or lost their sovereignty by compulsion, by some form of government, we are protected by that Constitution. And we're seeing the deep state. We're seeing a government that does not resemble, that does not abide by the supreme law of the land. So when we see a government doing things it has no authority to do, then do we support the government? No. The way God instilled this Constitution, our duty is to support the Constitution over government, over the president, over Congress, over any body, entity of government, period. So I can't emphasize enough how important it is to celebrate your birth in the Constitution as a state. I've said this a long time ago. People go, what can we do to help elevate constitutional awareness? Well, celebrating your state's birth in the Union is the best thing to do. And so most people think, well, September 17th for the original. No, no. The day your state ratified that Constitution is your birth in the Union. The day a state joined and became a party to that Constitution is that state's birthday. And so every citizen of that state should be celebrating the fact that they have lived in a government that their individual sovereignty and their individual liberty has been secured because of that parchment. So anyway, if we're not making a big deal about the Constitution and becoming a member of the Union, then and what we're doing is making, you know, patting people on the, hey, thanks for your service. That's an insult to me. Because as a Washingtonian, because I live here, I grew up in Washington, then it is an insult to me to put my personal service over the greater good of everyone's individual liberty and everyone's individual sovereignty, not only of the state, but of the entire Union. As a matter of fact, they, you know, we're going to get to this on Thanksgiving, and I'm going to read to you George Washington's proclamation. I'm going to give you just how significant that one document is to place a paradigm on how important our Constitution is. If you believe your, you know, if you believe in the scriptures and you hold the scriptures sacred, you should be holding the Constitution equally sacred. It is the one document that was not given to us by prophets, but it was given to us by the Lord through direct divine inspiration in these men. This has been done, this studies have been done over the fact of how these men came up with this, because that the collective understanding was not there. There's just no way. I mean, other than this divine inspiration, this bicameral legislative body, all of the things that were placed into this were just beyond any scientific examination of looking at the understanding. That's why I say even the framers didn't understand the impact of this Constitution. They didn't understand the immune system that was baked into this. They didn't understand how this one document, even because even Madison thought that the Constitution would become, you know, obsolete after 100 years. He thought that, you know, after 100 years, as the United States grew enough, its interest would shift enough to where it would split up, that the Union would not exist anymore. This was Madison. And so, I'm telling you, these men didn't realize the divinity in this document and some of the things that the Lord gave us. We'll be right back after these two promos.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me get back to what I was trying to say. I know, and I appreciate the fact that people realize that I don't like being, you know, I don't like flattery. As a matter of fact, like I said, it was kind of instilled upon me in the Marine Corps through my parents and so forth. Flattery is not good. And as a matter of fact, I learned that that is obviously the tool that Satan uses to, you know, put people's guards down and to basically get people to do things that they wouldn't have normally done. And so I'm very guarded with flattery. I'm very guarded with, you know, just those kind of I don't want to say unsolicited, you know, comments. There's times when I've actually gone to people and said, hey, you know, it would be okay for you to actually say and to, you know, to actually shift people over to where the information is. Because I've had cases in the past where there have been people down in California that, you know, didn't understand Republic Review, but they wanted to promote it. And in their own, you know, in their own sweet way, they were, you know, out there trying to promote it, but they confused the message. And I don't want to say they did more damage than good, but it, sometimes you get to a point where you're not helping. And so that's great. But the point is that when it comes to what we do, when it comes to what we're doing, if you really want to appreciate, if you want to show your appreciation for what I am doing, then take those steps. Because anybody that's a parent that will understand this, there are points in time that actually make a parent cry. And there are tears and crying for the pain and anguish of something that your children have had to deal with or had to suffer at their own hands. And then there are times of joy and tears and crying when somebody steps up, when your child steps up and does the right thing. You know, they've gotten, you know, their accomplishments and those types of things they did for themselves. And they did things, and those things make you feel good, but there are things that actually make you feel even much better. And those actions are those where your children have sacrificed and they have done something, or a loved one sacrifices and does something to, you know, kind of prove, you know, and validate what you have taught them. I'll tell you, there was a point in time in my life when I was, let's just say, an estranged relationship with my father for personal reasons. And as he was dying, you know, I was the one that buried the hatchet to go up there and, you know, put things aside. And we were able to, both of us, resolve that little problem in a very short period of time, because love prevails. And in the circumstances, as we started talking and we talked about my book and all of these other things, there was probably no greater time that I really felt at a point of tears with my father when I saw how my father acknowledged and realized Republic Review and what this was. Because I owe it to my father, my love for the Constitution, my love for this nation. I mean, I used to sit down and listen because he was a political science major. He was involved in all of this stuff when I was a kid. So I'd just sit on the floor and listen to him and his friends who were, you know, I won't say they were monster-minded on politics du jour, but, I mean, these men had just some really good, I don't want to say arguments, but they were discourses on their views of what was going on with the gold, you know, the putting aside the gold standard, the embargoes, all of these things were happening in the 60s and the 70s that I happened to be in the room listening, you know, like a fly on the wall. And I just found it interesting how, you know, how these men were having, I would say these were heated discussions, but they were heated and passionate, not in opposition, but in agreement and so forth. And how it was like this, I could feel this snowball of, you know, somebody would say something, somebody build on top of that to where, you know, the conclusion was this huge avalanche. Anyway, it was very touching when my father became so animated as he was dying of cancer to try to gather those who he had influenced, because my father was an influencer, and because of his health, he kind of, you know, got disengaged from a lot of that. But it was just so touching to see my father become so animated and having my mom, dictating on a tape and so forth of wanting people to hear this message of Republic Review, this concept. And as a matter of fact, it was still kind of being worked out. I mean, the Lord, kind of showed me, okay, this is something you need to look at. I didn't even realize until I stumbled across this. This really wasn't my idea. This was something that was actually exposed. And when I started realizing what Madison and Jefferson had done with the resolution, that's why these things are so important, folks, what the framers have done, not what I have done. And so I'm humbled to be the one to actually, come up with or be exposed to these thoughts and ideas that these men that lived hundreds of years before already figured out what to do. So anyway, if you understand how great a person feels, if you have had that joy that brought tears to your eyes when somebody has done something, the one thing that would actually, if you want to show your appreciation for me or what I'm doing, then get up, take a stand, and get engaged, and don't quit. If you run into resistance, overcome the resistance or go around it, but don't quit. Those things right there, because I get so much joy talking to people that are out working and fighting and doing things, and I wish I could be doing more. And as a matter of fact, unfortunately, with my health and situation, the Lord basically says, you're not going to do that much. He's kind of put a little bit of a limitation on me. But I just want to give you some history and maybe some more clarity, because I don't want you to think that I want to feel great. And the one thing that would actually touch my heart is your actions, because actions speak louder than words. And I hope that really helps drive this point. Now, the one thing that I actually wanted to say before we got into Madison's essay on property is the importance of making all elections local. We've talked about this. This is something I don't say there's all sorts of issues we don't go through on a daily basis. So when we went through it earlier this year, you'd go, okay, I remember listening to that. But if you're not listening on a daily basis, then I'm telling you, you're missing a whole fire hose of information. Now, making all elections local will actually alleviate and get rid of the control that the parties have. And it really restores the paradigm back to the local county, the local area of the election. Now, what I want to do is I want to just impress upon you what we have as far as a political system. We have a political system that actually has two separate parties. And what I mean by that is not the Democrat and Republican. We have the party system for the people to behave within, and then we have a political party system. So that party system for the people to behave in, this is what you know as the party system yourself. You know that the party has, county central committees, and then there's a state central committee, and then there's this national central committee. And that is the party, and that has been given to you, the people, to play with and to make you feel good that you're a part of something. But that party itself is a manipulative, unified between the Democrats and the Republicans. It is a uniparty, and it is designed to help guide you in the direction you need to go to maintain this direction for, I'll just salt, the globalist agenda. And so the other party is the party where the rubber hits the road, because I want you to understand that when you look at the national parties in Congress, See, the president may be off in this building over here, and nine times out of ten, the president kind of leads the party per se, because he kind of carries the nation in the direction, as we see, you know, Trump had, you know, his big wave when he won in 2016, but he lost that wave because his name wasn't on the ballot in 2018, supposedly, and then he lost in 2020. And lost his way. Well, was that wave Biden's wave? Where did that wave really come from? And that wave really actually comes from the money and energies actually within Congress. And so there's a movie out there that, if you've never seen it, it was a 2018 movie. It was called The Swamp. And if you've not seen this, this will help you understand where all of the money goes for politics. Because the Speaker of the House and the Majority Leader and the Minority Leader, they have what they call these treasure chests, where they earn money to basically, you know, throw into the upcoming elections. And we'll be right back after these two promos.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so if you've never seen the movie The Swamp, then you really missed out. And I've tried to look for it out on the web, and it seems like its presence has been scrubbed off of the web. Now, if you want to see it, let me know. But what this movie does is it helps explain how the lobbyists and those people who are driving every bill in Congress through all of these different committees, money to get them to support or not to support specific bills. And the big money is supporting bad bills. In other words, the globalists throw millions of dollars. And so I'm trying to remember. I think it's Peter Schweitzer. Let me pull it up here real quick, because I have it on my website. Peter Schweitzer, extortion. And he talks about how millions and millions of dollars get paid out to every congressperson that's a part of a committee that actually votes for a particular bill to get through the committee so that it goes to the floor. And I think that every congressman ultimately gets a little bit of money. So what you don't know is every committee that you serve on in Congress, you pay to be on that committee. In other words, you have to spend a certain amount of money to get on that committee. And the way you earn that money is by your votes. And so you can get kicked off a committee if you don't vote the way you need to help pay for the cost of you being on that committee. Sounds kind of corrupt, doesn't it? Well, what I'm trying to prove to you is that this money, because you've heard that Nancy Pelosi and others have this little, what they call a war chest of money that they can use and they inject into the elections. What you need to understand is that if your state made all elections local and did not allow funding to come in from any external source, then that treasure chest of money that Nancy Pelosi's sitting on, or whomever, that money becomes absolutely worthless because they can't use it to influence you. They can't use it to influence the voters and the elections in your state. If you make it so that the only money allowed to be used must come from within that state. And there's easy ways of doing that, folks. Because all you've got to do is, you know, whoever contributes, if that person received money from out of state, if that, you know, if George Soros shoveled money into that state by using PACs or what have you, you can just shut that down and arrest those people and say you're trying to influence this election with foreign money. And that's foreign influence. And when I say foreign, if it's not of your state, it's foreign. If it's not of your county, it's foreign. I mean, the money could be even coming within your own state. Because, if they're doing this in Congress, I have no evidence to say that they're doing this in every state, but there's no doubt in my mind that this kind of crap is being done in every state to some degree. And so they may not be as blatant and as corrupt as Congress, because Congress is obviously above the law. And it's about time we knock them down. We don't have to have an armed revolution to do this. The process is Republic Review. The process is holding them fully accountable to the compact and getting the states to do their job. This, again, is the beauty of this immune system that the Lord gave us baked within this hybrid constitutional republic. I'm just absolutely amazed at the power and the way this whole thing was designed. I'm just absolutely amazed. And I'm hoping that everybody is starting to understand the magnitude of divinity within our government and our system. We could prove to the world how quickly we can take this back. But we have to understand that he gave us everything we need in this document. The final blow, the final thing, because as I look at it and as I've studied it, the 14th Amendment is the keystone or that final integral part that was missing from from the Constitution. As a matter of fact, the more I study it, the more I am confirmed and convinced that the 14th Amendment was that necessary. As I look at the Bill of Rights and Madison's efforts in the Bill of Rights, and we've kind of glossed completely over that. And I might get into that this coming December. But we've glossed over that for a very specific reason. But if you look at the amendments that Madison put out, that Madison suggested, and when I say that, you know, this was before the Bill of Rights. When he stood up, I think it was like June 8th. In Congress, he said, okay, here are the amendments that I'm recommending for Congress to consider. And then that went into a subcommittee, and then they came up with the actual 12 amendments. But anyway, I digress. This show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions of what, why, how we can take this country back. That we can use the Constitution to succeed. And so with that, with that. Let me just dive into this awesome paper that James Madison wrote that really helps people start to understand property. Now, we understand that we have this right of property, and it actually doesn't come right out and say all people have the right of property. What it does say is that nobody can be deprived of property without due process. So in other words, it is a right that we have, just like our life. We have a right of life. We have a right of liberty and property. Ah, does that sound like a declaration? Yes, it does. But the concept of property was still, there were still a lot of people. You got to understand that the framers were very enlightened beings in contrast to many of the people that lived in America. There were many that, you know, were basically educated, but they didn't have that same enlightenment. And I'm not sure if you knew this, but in the early days of Congress, in the early days of government, you know, the people that actually went into the balconies to listen to what was being said in Congress up in Washington, or actually up in New York, and then in Philadelphia, and then in Washington, that's why they have balconies, so that people could come and listen to these men. And those first few years, if I remember correctly, there were a lot of women up there because they were just absolutely amazed at how intelligent these men were. You know, if you want to call them groupies or what have you. Anyway, this was written in 1792, and this is Madison's essay on property. This term, in its particular application, he's talking about this term property, means that dominion which one man claims and exercises over the external things of the world in exclusion to every other individual. In other words, if you understand that this property means that you have dominion over external things, not your not just your body, but all of these other things. So he's kind of pointing out that this is the common meaning of property. But there's a deeper meaning, and that's what he gets into, that even your thoughts, even your choices, your words are your property. This is how heavy and how deep this gets. But anyway, so Madison goes on and says, and actually that was a quote, that dominion which one man claims and exercises over the external things of the world in exclusion of every other individual, close quote. In its larger and juster meaning, I love that, juster, because it, more just. but back in those days, they had the latitude of using those types of words. Anyway, it embraces everything to which a man may attach a value and have a right to, and which leaves to everyone else the like advantage. In the former sense, a man's land or merchandise or money is called his property. In the latter sense, a man has a property in his opinions and the free communication of them. He has property of peculiar value in his religious opinions and in the profession and practice dictated by them. I'm going to pause right here because I talk a lot about religion and different views and so forth. Folks, I can't tell you how divided we allow ourselves to be over religion, and we fail to acknowledge a person's property rights of having their own religious opinions. Even though you may be of one sect, you may be an apologist, you may be a Protestant, you may be an Episcopal, it doesn't matter. We need to put aside this concept of creating a theocracy and respect all religious opinions, all, and we accept them based on their willingness to accept individual liberty and individual sovereignty as the governing guide, that we all have these rights. So we need to put these aside. You know, this concept that America has to become Christian first, America will become Christian when we restore our liberties. We have to put the Constitution first. We have to put the Lord first in our lives, but we have to put the Constitution first in our government. We'll be right back after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so back to Madison's essay. And let me reread that. He has a property of peculiar value in his religious opinions and in the profession and practice dictated by them. He has a property very dear to him in the safety and liberty of his person. He has an equal property in the free use of his faculties and free choice of the objects on which to employ them. In a word, a man is said to have a right to his property. He may be equally said to have a property in his rights. Where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe in his opinions, his person, his faculties, or his possession. Folks, what are we living under? We're living under excess of power, because that's what he says. Where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. I mean, look at how the mobs are actually getting away with destroying your property. You know, I believe in justice, and I believe, you know, some of the things that we need to do is we need to make sure we extract financial compensation for everything that people do. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm of the opinion that when somebody drives into the mountains in a car when there's snow and snowy weather and all of these warning signs, do not drive. You must have chains. You must have traction tires. You know, here are the standards for going up into the mountains. And a person goes up there with bald or street tires and inadequate gear on their vehicle, and they cause an accident that stops traffic. Everybody that is stopped in that traffic should have a right to receive compensation for their lost time. Every trucker, you know, with a load, his time is worth money. And we're not justly served because some idiot wanted to violate the law. Where is justice? If we're supposed to have a just system, then there would be some form of compensation. Now, if we wanted to be merciful and say, okay, we forgive, But our government chooses to forgive for us without saying, you know, you deserve compensation. Your property, your time has been stolen from you. So when we see these mobs, these BLMs and these Antifas out doing what they're doing and they're damaging property, I think if they can't compensate for the damages that they've done, and believe me, folks, if you're really serious and you want to deploy a system that would actually make all of this type of riotous behavior go away, because the only way you can make it go away is make it so that anybody that engages in it, anyone that engages in riotous behavior, will have to pay the consequence. Everybody that's there will pay. In other words, everybody would be arrested, everybody would be processed, and everybody will be held accountable for the damages. And so there is a way to do this, and there's a system, hardware, manpower, and so forth, that could easily be deployed to do this. I presented this to an executive in the company I worked in, because I worked in defense systems and so forth, or worked with them. Anyway, the whole point is that if somebody can't pay, then at a minimum, shouldn't their property be destroyed for the destruction of other people's property? All of it based on the compensation. Maybe they don't have a penny, but they have a car. They have all of these other things. Now, we know that asset forfeiture is unconstitutional. However, if you have to pay, then what you own has to come onto the block for compensation, not for the court, not for the government, but for the victims. And so the victims have a right to be able to obtain compensation. So we're not talking about asset forfeiture that the government actually gets to aggrandize themselves and sell at auctions so that they can make money off of it. That is unconstitutional and illegal. But anyway, back to what Madison says. Where there is an excess of liberty, the effect is the same, though from an opposite cause. Government is instituted to protect property of every sort, as well that which lies in the various rights of individuals. At that which the term particular expresses, this being the end of government, that alone is a just government, which impartially secures to every man whatever is his own. According to this standard of merit, the praise of affording a just securing to property should be sparingly bestowed on government, which, however scrupulously guarding the possessions of individuals, does not protect them in the enjoyment and communication of their opinions, in which they have an equal, and in an estimation of some, a more valuable property. More sparingly should this praise be allowed to a government where a man's religious rights are violated by penalties or fettered by tests or taxed by a hierarchy. Conscience is the most sacred of all property, other property depending in part on positive law, the exercise of that being a natural and inalienable right. To guard a man's house as his castle, to pay public and enforce private debts with the most exact faith, can give no title to invade a man's conscience, which is more sacred than his castle, or to withhold from it that debt of protection for which the public faith is pledged by the very nature and original conditions of the social pact. That which is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where the property which a man has in his personal safety and his personal liberty is violated by arbitrary seizures of one class of citizens for the service of the rest. A magistrate issuing his warrants to press gang would be in his proper functions in Turkey or Istanbul under appellations proverbial to the most complete despotism. This is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where arbitrary restrictions, exemptions, and monopolies deny to part of its citizens that free use of their faculties and free choice of their occupations, which not only constitute their property in the general sense of the word, but are the means of acquiring property strictly so-called. This goes back to, you know, the bakers that want to bake for whom they want to bake for. What must be the spirit of legislation where a manufacturer of linen cloth is forbidden to bury his own child in a linen shroud in order to favor his neighbor who manufactures woolen cloth, where the manufacturer and wearer of the woolen cloth are again forbidden the economical use of buttons of that material in favor of the manufacturer of buttons of other materials? This, folks, we're already doing this with cemeteries requiring certain standards of caskets and so forth and all of this kickback. I mean, anyway, let me move on. A just security to property is not afforded by that government under which unequal taxes oppresses one species of property and reward another species, where arbitrary taxes invade the domestic sanctuaries of the rich and excessive taxes grind the faces of the poor, where the keenness and competitions of want are deemed an insufficient spur to labor, and taxes are again applied by unfeeling policy as another spur in a violation of that sacred property which heaven, in decreeing man to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow, kindly reserved to him in the small repose that could be spared from the supply of his necessities. If there be a government, then, which prides itself in maintaining the inviolability of property, which provides that none shall be taken directly, even for public use, without indemnification to the owner, and yet directly violates the property which individuals have in their opinions, their religion, their person, and their faculties, nay, more, which indirectly violates their property in their actual possessions, in the labor that acquires their daily sustenance, and in the hallowed remnant of time which ought to relieve their fatigues and soothe their cares, the influence or inference will have been anticipated that such a government is not a pattern for the United States. If the United States mean to obtain or deserve the full praise due to wise and just governments, they will equally respect the rights of property and the property in rights. They will reveal the government. They will rival the government that most sacredly guards the former, and by repelling its example in violating the latter, will make themselves a pattern to that end and all other governments. It's a lot to digest. It's three pages, but my friends, this right here really helps people start to understand this thing we call property. We do have these rights. The government can, you know, make sure that your doors are open to serve all, but they can't take away your conscience. They can't deny you your rights. You, just because you're homosexual and you want to make somebody do something, or, you know, evil and want to make somebody, you know, provide you a service, you know, that would be evil, they can't force you to do that. Folks, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.